Let's get our Bibles now, and let's turn now to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 6, and Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 13. Genesis 9, and verse 6. And the question before us tonight, abortion, is it murder? I'll try to deal with it from the Bible side. I'll give some introduction concerning this matter or this issue, and then get into the Bible, and then we'll let a medical doctor, wholly disassociated from Scripture, and just strictly dealing from facts of medicine concerning this issue. I read in Genesis 9, verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Now that's a book on capital, that's a text on capital punishment. And by the way, that's still in effect, and it's in New Testament. This is not a subject, a message on capital punishment, but capital punishment is taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the book of Exodus now, here is a declaration. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. The word says, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, that does not refer to capital punishment, for there's explicit commands concerning the taking of a life who shed someone else's life. That's clearly taught. But this is a question, a declaration, and a command concerning murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Let's bow our hearts in prayer now, every head bowed, every eye closed now, as we pray. Boys and girls, glad to see you now. Be still and steady while we preach. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that thou wouldst move in our hearts, in our lives. We pray, Father, tonight that our minds might be open to what thy word has to say. And Lord, that every issue we'll settle it with a "thus saith the Lord." We plead for liberty. We plead for wisdom. We plead for power. We plead for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of the message tonight, we pray, Heavenly Father, that homes may be strengthened. We pray, Heavenly Father, that unborn children may be, so their lives might be spared. We pray for those, our Father, who would incur guilt that will follow them through their lives, that they might be spared this. And so as we come to thy word tonight, we pray that thou would speak to us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, in the text, as I've said already, and by the way, let me insert here, the folks who say now that the fetus is not a child until a certain period has progressed, 3 months or so on, or until the cord is cut. Whether they know it or not, if they're atheistic in their philosophy, they're having to admit that there's more to man than the physical. And the moment that they say that there's something that's not there and after a while it's there, they're admitting that man is more than physical. They're admitting the reality of the soul, whether they know it or not. They're walking right into their own trap. All right, now that way, by way of introduction. Now, I repeat again, the text does not apply to capital punishment, but to murder. And the question is, abortion murder? Well, what's abortion? Abortion is premature birth, self-inflicted, or mechanically induced to destroy the living fetus. That's abortion. The Planned Parenthood organization in 1963, on one of their pamphlets they published, "An abortion requires an operation. It kills the life of the baby after it has begun." Now, is abortion murder? Yes, it is, if it's a person. If it's not a person, then it cannot be murder. Or you can only murder human beings. And so that boils down to what constitutes a human being, and when does the fetus become a human being? Now, whether that person is 2 minutes old or whether they're 100 years old, they're a human being. If it's 2 minutes old, it's a human being that's been in existence for 2 minutes or 100 years. It doesn't make any difference about the length of time. It's the fact of whether it's a human being or not. Now, let me give by way of introduction, and I'll get into the scripture, but let me just, and I'll stick close to my notes. I'll read them, and then we'll get into the word. First of all, who are the proponents of liberalized abortion laws? First of all, the ecologists. They say in the world, the population explosion is here, and we've got to do something about it. And yet, who has the right to choose who dies? It's always somebody else. And how tragic it is It's a choice to kill the innocent and let free the murderer. The same crowd that cries overpopulation is the same crowd that liberalizes laws against crime to turn the criminal loose, let him live, but kill the infant. Little inconsistent in their thinking. Then those who say for rape or incest. Now let me make some other statement. The Bible, where it deals with science, is absolutely accurate. True science and the Bible never conflict. Where there's a conflict in our thinking of what the Bible says, or a conflict in our thinking about what science says, but true science and the Bible never conflict, for God is the author of both of them. Now remember that. Now, they say, well, those who say, well, for rape or incest, then we're for abortion. The state prosecutors and Association of State Sheriff Association in Michigan opposed liberalizing abortion, stating that in all cases where rape is repeated within 12 hours' time, there is a medical examination to a girl, to gain legal evidence which eliminates any possibility of pregnancy. And if it's prolonged beyond 12 hours, there's a question if it was rape at all. Now, that's somebody else's what they have to say. Number three, those who say that the child born may be defective. And again, I'm quoting from somebody else's figures, that less than one-fourth, born to those who have had rubella or German measles previous to their child's birth, that less than one-fourth of those born to them are defective, and then why kill the other three because of one child that's defective? The other proponents are those who say the mother's life is in danger. Now I'm quoting from a gynecologist, Dr. John L. Grady. The medical doctor asserts that abortion is almost never needed to save a mother's life. I've never lost a mother from any cause. Moreover, at the public hospital where I am a staff member, there have been thousands of babies delivered, and to my knowledge, not a single therapeutic abortion. All right, number five. There are women who are in business professions and do not want children in their way, or a husband is working his way through college and he said, well, now I'm in the middle of my education and I don't have time for children. Now, let's have abortion. And there are those who are the women who are unmarried and they state clearly that they do not want the responsibilities of married life or children. They want sex without responsibility, and they declare they can do with their body what they want when they want. It belongs to them, and consequently live a life of sin. Then there is those who say there's a need for the liberalization of abortion laws because of the fact of the girls who go to the butcher shops and have illegal abortions, and to save the girls from being butchered up, let's have legalized abortion. And lastly, and only a minority group, I'm positive, the name of the game is dead babies for big dollars for fee-hungry doctors. And there are a few as black as anywhere else. Now, minority group. Numbers two, the results of abortion. What are some of the results? In Japan, economics professor Iunus, gives an official figure of abortions at 1 million, but says probably closer to 2 and 3/10 million dollars annually because of the doctors not registering their fee to escape their income tax. Japan has a high suicide rate for women in the prime of life, ages 20 to 24, and they say that this matter of abortion has become a menace to human society and the destruction of the Japanese nation because of a failure to populate the Japanese race. In Sweden, where they have abortion on demand, homosexuality, lesbianism, for the formerly a stable country, is now riddled with neurosis, suicide, nervous breakdowns, divorce, venereal disease, and free love, and doctors are opposing this matter of abortion. In Britain, the British St. John Stevens, a long-time opponent of Britain's liberalized abortion laws, pointed out how, since the passing of the British Abortion Act, April 1968, abortion mills have sprung up like assembly line factories in order to meet the demand for the 60,000 annual abortions now sought by British women, half of them single. Needless to say, British statistics for mental health problems, prostitution, venereal disease, have increased alarmingly. The horrors of Britain's liberalized abortion laws were not too long bearing fruit. On June the 28th, 1970, our Sunday Visitor, a paper, carried an explosive story by the editor, Albert J. Nevins, concerning the sale of live aborted fetuses for scientific research. Now, I took that from Christian Economics, and that's a stable paper. Now, in America, the Supreme Court declared January the 22nd that the United States Constitution does not include the human fetus in its definition of a person, and also declared by a 7-2 ruling that a woman having a physician-approved abortion during the first 3 months of pregnancy may not be prosecuted. And the figures that I have are 600,000 abortions last year. Now, to the subject. When did you become a person, or is abortion a murder? Now, let's look at the Bible. First of all, number one, who forms life? In the Psalms, 127th Psalm, and I'll try to slow down a little bit now after all the quotations, in the 127th Psalm, the Bible says, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, the fruit of the womb is a child, a person. All right? In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, here this matter, who forms life? Here is life many, many times in the Bible. In answer to prayer, Jacob prayed for children, and the children were granted. And I give you just one illustration. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, the words declares, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And so, who forms life? God is the author of life. He promised Israel, if they'd obey his laws, he'd give them blessings of the heaven and blessings of the morning. And he said, blessings of the womb are the fruit of the womb, increased children. God is the author of life. Secondly, the question, when does a human life begin? Now turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. As far as I'm concerned, this passage of Scripture, and my understanding of what this passage is saying, is irrefutable as to when a person becomes a person. When does that seed become a person? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Look at it. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, or co-heirs, being heirs together of the grace of life. Now God has constituted the human race, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Here he says, as husbands and wives, as being co-heirs, or heirs together of the grace of life. Now the word life here is not the word from which we get our word biology. Biology, animal life, plant life, life. This is not the word, or it would be bios. This is the word zoe. This is the word that's used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there is life on its highest plane. It's life that lives forever, ever. Not a physical life that has a cessation, but a life that comes from God and lives forever. It's the same word that Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. He's the tree of life. The river of life. I repeat again, it is not bios from which we get our word biology, but it is the word zoe. And on the basis of this verse and this verse alone, I hold and believe that the Bible teaches that the very moment of conception, an individual is born and comes into being. In that moment of conception, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, your bone structure, and all of this, in that very moment of conception, as we'll see in a moment in the 139th Psalm, declared the psalmist David. Now, in the body, I'm told and I read, in the body, nearly every human cell has a nucleus of 46 chromosomes.
Every human cell, nearly every human cell, has a nucleus of 46 chromosomes. That's in man and woman. And it's interesting to note now, in the male sperm, that they only have 23 chromosomes, and in the female ovum, you only have 23 chromosomes, and in my reading that when these chromosomes, the male sperm fertilizes the female ovum, then that moment the 23 unite and become 46, and that begins a personality, a new cell, and a new person in that moment. Now I believe from Genesis to Revelation that the Bible teaches that a moment of conception, a new person is born. I'm being plain tonight, not vulgar. Birth, you say, well, what about birth control? Birth control does not allow the sperm and the ovum to come together to fertilize, and they're destined to die without becoming a human cell with its 46 chromosomes from which they divide the 2 to 4 and so on. And this is stopped. But here, then when the sperm and the ovum come in contact, there's a fertilization immediately. Those 23 become 46 in the beginning of a personality, and actually a personality is formed there. And Acts 17, verse 25. I want you to look again. Acts 17, verse 25. Here's another verse that uses that word, not bios, but it's a word, zoe. Paul stood in a group of philosophers in Mars Hill, and he says in the 25th chapter of Acts, 27th chapter, verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life, zoe, to all. Now there, this life, it's more than physical life. This life that does not end at physical life. He says he gives that to the all. He gives that to the pagan. He gives that to the moralist. He gives that to the Christian. This is life, and you're going to live somewhere forever. And when does a human being become a human being? I declare, and I'll give you verse after verse in just a moment, that at conception. Now, turn to Job chapter 3, and let's see what Job said. And I realize, and there under inspiration of God, for instance, Simon Peter talked about atomic fission. The heavens shall melt with fervent heat. Simon Peter never had seen an atomic blast. He wrote about it. Moses was not here when a universal flood transpired, but he wrote about it. How did he write about it? He wrote about it by divine revelation. And I come to the book of Job chapter 3, and here's a man under affliction, a man that's lost everything. He's lost his wealth, he's lost his children, he's lost his health, and he sits in an ash heap, and brother, he's in the dumps. He wishes he had died before he was born. He wished he had died when he was born. He wished he could die then. Now let's look at what he has to say in Job chapter 3. And let's watch it now. Watch carefully. Job 3 verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. And the night, watch now, forget the day. And the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. What? A man child was conceived. Read on. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above. And so he's talking about that day of his conception. Verse 6. As for that night, what night? That night in which it was said a man child was conceived. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not be come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come from therein. He goes on and talks about that night. Look at verse 10. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Oh, that my mother's womb were shut that night, and I'm not coming to being.
Bible talks about the womb opening and shutting. God closed the wombs of Abimelech's household. It says in the book of Ruth, Ruth concerning the lady there, that God had shut up her womb. It said in answer to prayer, God opened the womb, and he said, why was not my mother's womb shut up that I was not conceived? And he said, a man child was conceived that night. Now read on a little further. Verse 11, he goes from conception, now he goes to the father. He said, why died I not from the womb? How should I have died before I was born? Why did not I give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? I wish I died when I was born. Verse 16, or as an untimely, hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. He calls that little one nudged and nestled in mother's womb. He calls it an infant. That's life. That's personality. That's a human being. Now, in the 31st chapter, chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. Now, before you can have a death, you have to have life. That's clear? In verse 18 of the 10th chapter of Job, he said, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. He said, I wish I'd died in my mother's womb. Who died? I died. A person died, and only a person can die. And he's talking about I died. And brother, if he wanted to die, he had to be alive. All right, now let's move now to the recognition of David in the 139th Psalm. And I preached a message on this a while back about accepting our bodies. God made your body. God made you. There's some things you can buy that you can change, but there's a lot of things you can't change. And most people are all troubled about what the way God made them, and they're criticizing their Creator. Then I read in the 139th Psalm and verse 13. Look what David says. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He said, you covered me. That's a person. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance, or a continuing life situation, which we were in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And God wrote in his book before you ever were born. You know it, you read, there never has been another person like you, and there never will be another person like you. The only creature in this universe like you that God ever made. And David said, you wrote me in your book before there was none of them. You wrote it. You knew me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You covered me in my mother's womb. That's David's. Now, I turn to the book of the 31st chapter of Job in connection with this verse. 31st chapter. Now, I turn to the book of the 31st chapter of Job in connection with this verse. 31st chapter. Job talks about the poor man and about his own particular. And we're just looking at verses tonight. Forget the outline. We're looking at verses. Job chapter 31, verse 13. Job searching his heart. And he talks about his manservant or his maidservant. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? What? He made me where? In the womb. He fashioned me in the womb. Now turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5. This in the womb is not just some vague something, but a person. Ecclesiastes 11 and 5. That's page 703 to have a Scofield. I suggest you write the verses down, take them home and read them. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. What? Now, here it says, bones are growing in the womb of her that is with child. She's with child, and that child's bones grow. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God said concerning the birth of Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, who formed? Before I formed thee, a person. In the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What if Jeremiah's mother had had an abortion? Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. That's Jeremiah's calling. Then I turn again and turn to the book of Exodus. Here's a penalty for causing a miscarriage. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21 and verse 22 through verse 23. Exodus chapter 21. Here's a penalty, I repeat, and the penalty is very severe. Verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, the child dies, or the mother dies, and children live who've been born prematurely. That's obvious. Read on. He shall surely be punished according as a woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine, and if any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life. Why take the life if there's not been a life taken? And God, what? God gives capital punishment for what? Harming a woman with child, and she gives birth to the child, the scripture said, so that her fruit depart from her. Then if any mischief follow, that could refer to the death of the wife, the mother, or the death of the child, then thou shalt give life for life. And God never extracts life. Does not exercise capital punishment where life has not been taken, in the context of other sins, but not in this particular sin. Alright now, let's turn to the word conceive. I say that the Bible teaches that a person begins in conception. Now let's find out how the Bible uses this word conception. Alright? Now let's look at about 10 verses. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And I have enough verses, not here, but I had enough verses to keep you here for quite a while. Bible filled with them. Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. His wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Children, nations, and two manner of people. He called them what? Children, nation, people are in thy womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And here talks about our conception, talks about children, talks about nations, talks about people. Doesn't talk about things. Then I turn to Genesis chapter 38, verse 24. And here's the expression again. Here's the awful deed of Judah. And verse 18, the latter part of the verse, the word says, and she conceived by him. All right, now,
in verse 24, and it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child. Here, 3 months, she's with child. Talks about conception. All right, in Numbers 11 and verse 2. Numbers 11 and verse 12, excuse me. Moses burdened with the thousands of the people, the millions of the people, and he was a lone leader, and he felt like a mother carrying him about in the wilderness, and he used this expression concerning these people, and he said, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing mother? He said, I didn't conceive all this people. And he's saying, you don't conceive anything but people. Now let that sink in. Have I conceived this people? Isaac's wife conceived nations, people, children. Right? 2 Samuel 11 and verse 5. And I'll assure you, very few weeks had passed, I'm sure, before he got this telegram. In 2 Samuel 11, after David sinned, in 2 Samuel 11 and verse 5, and I repeat again, I'll assure you that not much time had elapsed before this telegram got off, for her husband is away in battle and due home maybe any time, and she gets a message, a frantic message, an urgent message to the king, and this is what she says, and a woman conceived and sent and told David, I am with child. She conceived and said, I am with child. I'm not with the substance, I'm with child. All right, turn to Psalm 51 and verse 5. David, what about you? This verse does not mean that marriage is sinful. Marriage relationship is sinful. That's not what David's saying. But David is saying that my problem began in my conception. I was born for sinful nature, gone astray, just like my nature. And he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. What did she conceive? In sin did my mother conceive me. That's a person. All right? Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. Song of Solomon is a beautiful picture of Christ's love for his own. Beautiful picture of the marriage relationship. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. She didn't conceive something that after a while became me. She didn't conceive my body. He said she conceived me. David said, my mother conceived me. That's personality. That's person. Then I read, and this is unanswerable. Isaiah 7 verse 14. The birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7 14, and we'll turn to Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 1. And Isaiah hears the prophecy. And verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now let's turn to the scriptures in Matthew and let's see what the Holy Ghost has to say about this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child
of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, and he says, uses conceived and child interchangeably. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, in fulfillment of prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And the Holy Ghost said, what? And he put it and used this word again. What is it? And the whole, let me read verse 23 to you. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Isaiah said, she shall conceive. The New Testament said, she shall be with child. And being with child and conceiving are used synonymously and interchangeably in the Bible. All right? Now, turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Verse 21, this is after 8 days after the birth of our Lord. He was taken to the temple to be circumcised as the law declared that he should be. And now watch what the word says. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus was conceived in the womb. He was Jesus, his humanity, the moment of his conception by the power of the Holy Ghost. Before he was conceived. Now, let's turn back a little bit in Luke chapter 1. Let's see some things here. In Luke chapter 1, here's Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth, that's Zachariah's wife, Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now look at verse 36. The angel appeared unto Mary. Let's read a few verses. Verse 27, excuse me. He appeared to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and a virgin's name was Mary. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. All right, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 34, verse 35 now. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come on upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, God came down and God took into his being humanity. When did he do that? He did that at the conception, the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was conceived, the humanity. And there's a man in heaven tonight. He's a God-man. Now look at verse 36. And he said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her. Now read down. And Mary arose in those days. Here's Elizabeth, 6 months. And Mary, conception, and she runs to the wheel out to the country to see her cousin. Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, 6 months old, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. What's the fruit of her womb? Person. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And brother, if she did not have nestled in her womb right then, the Lord. Then this verse is sure out of context. She said, the mother of my Lord has come to me. That meant that, listen, the Lord nestled, who's the Lord? The Lord Jesus nestled in that womb. And what happened? For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist, 6 months in his mother's womb, leaped for joy. Can a 6 month child leap for joy? The Bible says he did. He must have known something in his mother's womb. You say, oh, you're getting off the deep end. Wait till you see the medical side. And he leaped. And I repeat again, you find Mary hastening out to meet Elizabeth. Very little time could have elapsed. And here she gets into the very household. John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb. And she said, whence is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? He was a person and not something that had to wait for development to become Jesus. Now let me close about action in the womb. I've already read in Luke chapter 1 of John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb for joy. Would you turn to Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3 and you hear that Jacob grabbed his brother's heel. That's page 928. Only one place in the Bible the word abortion is used, and that's in connection with the Apostle Paul. He said, I was one born out of due season, an abortion. He said, I was born prematurely. And what happened to Paul? What happened to the nation of Israel? They'll be converted by the Son of God's personal appearance to them. And brother, you think about 144,000 Apostle Pauls turned loose on this earth. He said, I was an abortion. Did he live? He sure did. Hosea 12:3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. Then I turned one of the passages in Genesis 25 that I've already read you. I'll read it again about the children struggling together within her. Children. Not something, but someone struggling within her. Is abortion murder? Yes, it is. For that fetus is a personality. And I repeat again, in the moment of your conception, all the unchangeable characteristics of your body and your mind in that very moment, brother, were determined.